We're doing Sefer Maasiyot. Good morning. We had seen the fantastic story of Natan the Tzitzita. This Natan that was madly in love with Chana, the married woman, and then her husband was incarcerated because he couldn't pay his debts. And finally the husband tells his wife, go get a loan from Natan. And she goes and Natan gives her the loan. And then Natan is overtaken with lust and she gives him a whole long speech about how he's going to destroy his life if he does what he wants. And Natan throws himself on the floor and prays that he makes the right decision. And finally, Natan makes the right decision and he sends her along her way, thanking her for giving him such good advice. But the story is not over. Her husband is sure that the way she got the money was by committing adultery. And so there's a big fight between Chana and her husband. And one day, Natan was traveling. Rabbi Akiva looks out the window and he sees a man riding on his horse. And he looks at the man and he sees fire coming out of the man's head. He looks at the man and he sees such light radiating from him. It's like he's looking at the sun. And he looks at and he calls his students and he asks, who's that man riding on the horse? And they tell him, that man? That man's, his claim to fame is that he visits all the brothels. So he says to his students, look at his head. Do you see anything? So they say, we don't see anything. Rabbi Akiva says, call him in. I want to talk to him. So they bring in Natan and the students are all standing there in shock. And Rabbi Akiva says to him, son, I see a great light radiating from your head. So I know you're going to have a big portion in the world to come. Tell me, what have you done in your life? So Natan sits down and tells him the story that happened between him and Chana. And Rabbi Akiva stands there in awe of Natan. How Natan overcame his desire and how Natan did a complete tshuva after all this time that all he's been doing is thinking about Chana to the point that he became deathly ill. And there, that moment, he did a successful tshuva. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, look, you've done a great thing, and that's why God has given you this great light that I see. But listen here, if in this world you have such a light, we can only imagine what the world to come has in store for you. But listen, son, I want you to stick around. Let me teach you some Torah. So Natan stays, and he becomes a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. And the one who opens the gates of people's hearts opened his gates and you couldn't close them. Once he started learning, he just grew and grew. And in a short time, he became a giant. He became one of the wise men and he sat on Rabbi Akiva's level. He was not only Rabbi Akiva's disciple, but he was that they elevated him to be his equal. And one day, Chana's husband was passing through Rabbi Akiva's Batei Medrash, and he sees Natan the Tzitzita sitting at the head of the academy right next to Rabbi Akiva. Hey, he's become the Rosh Yeshiva. So he asks one of the students, how did Natan get up there? How did Natan do that? So the student tells him the story. He tells him how, that Natan, we saw him, we thought he was the guy who visits brothels. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, I see a huge light around him. Rabbi Akiva invited him in, asked him the story. Natan told him how there's this woman, Chana, who he fell madly in love with. And when the time came, he stood against temptation. He listened to the woman. She gave him a good speech. And Rabbi Akiva said, you're such a tzaddik. You know, if you have such a light, stick around and learn Torah. And ever since that day, he's been learning Torah. So here the man, years have passed. And the man realizes his wife, Chana, was such a tzaddikah, she'd been telling him the truth all along. Now, during these years, the husband had taken a vow that he would never again come close to his wife. And he came home, he kissed her on the head, and he said, Chana, please forgive me that I suspected you over what happened between you and Natan. Today I went and I saw Natan sitting at the head of the academy next to Rabbi Akiva. And I asked, and they told me the whole story. Hashem should bless you, Chana. Hashem should give you double and quadruple because You worked so hard to save my life, and now I understand that you were the greatest wife that could be. Today I understand, through God's mercy, I was given to understand what great determination and dedication you have shown to me. So that's the famous story. It's not so famous, the fantastic story of Natan de Tzitzita. And Rav Nissim Gaon continues and says, so a person has to think, where is he headed? A person has to think about the future. And he shouldn't listen to his desires. A person has to acquire things that are permanent. And that is the world to come. And he should learn to scorn the things that are going to drive him down to perdition for eternity. And he has to remember that all the things that we desire are like eating honey that has poison in it. So it tastes good the first second you taste it, but ultimately it kills a person. And so our sages taught us the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ezu gibor hakoveshet yitzro. You want to know who's a brave warrior? You want to know who's a mighty warrior? That's a person who conquers his desires. And because the Yetzer Hara is so powerful, Chazal taught us, based on Tanakh, that he was given six names. He's called Arel, the uncircumcised one. King David called him Tameh, the defiled one. Shlomo called him Soneh, our enemy. Because you have to know that the Yetzer Hara is really our enemy. And he's trying to bring us down. So if a person learns Torah, so that's how he overcomes that enemy. Yeshaya called him Michshol, a stumbling block. Yechezkel called him Evan, a stone. And Yoel, the prophet Yoel, called him Tzifoni, a serpent. Because Tzifoni also means hidden, Tzafun, because he's that hidden serpent in a person's heart. Look at what names he has. Look at how difficult he is to overcome. And so God should help those that want to overcome him. And we should know that he has a special affinity for the sages. The Yetzer Hara works harder on the Talmidei Chachamim. And that's what we say, Kol HaGadol Mechavero Yitzro Gadol Mimenu. The greater a person is, the greater his desires are. So our sages taught us, if you meet up with this derelict, grab him and bring him into the academy. If you bring him into the Beis Medrash, then even if he's stone, he will melt before the Torah that you learn. If he's metal, if he's tough as nails, so you should know that he'll explode, because Torah, it says, Torah explodes metal. Hashem says, it's true, I created the Yetzer Hara, but I also gave you the Torah. And if you deal in Torah, so you should know he can't overtake you. It's one of the things that boggle my mind, that people who don't learn Torah, they're really spending their life chasing their tail. I get phone calls all the time of people who get into all kinds of trouble because they're running after the Yetzer Hara. And then it explodes in their face. Chazal tell us, "En chaben chorin elam mishu sek b'Torah." You want to know who's free? It's a person who deals in Torah. A person who's not dealing in Torah, so he's spending his life being pressured. What's he going to think of me? And how am I going to impress him? And how am I going to impress the girls? And how am I going to get this that I want, and that I want? He's a slave to his desires. The Torah gives us the perspective and the capacity to overcome our desires, that we're in control. We can enjoy life, but we can enjoy it even more because we're in control. We're not a slave to our desires, but we know the balanced way of enjoying life. And that's what the Talmud tells us, that if we deal in Torah, mitzvos, and chesed, so then we can control our desires. Reish Lakish taught that every day our Yetzer Hara is trying to kill us. And when a person deals in Torah, so that's the escape. Hashem should save us from him. And if a person sees that his Yetzer is overcoming him to sin. So, we have a rule. Habali tame potchin lo, bali tame mesayin oto. If a person strives to be pure, they help him. If a person wants to be defiled, they let him do what he wants. We have free choice in this world. But we should also know that God's on our side. And when a person tries to do what's right, so he gets special help from above. What's this similar to? A person who's selling different types of oils. There's itran, an oil that stinks. There's shemen afal simon, an oil that has a pleasant smell. If a person comes and says, I want to buy itran, so the seller tells him, go ahead, take yourself as much as you want. Why? Because he doesn't want to get himself dirty with the itran. If a person comes to buy the oil that's a perfume, he says, come, I'll help you out, I'll weigh it for you. Because he figures, worst comes to worst, I'll have a little bit of a good smell left on my hand. So we say the same thing. If we try to do something positive, so just like when you're trying to deal with something positive, you say, here, I'll pour that for you. Hashem says, here, I'll help you out with that. Hashem is like the seller. If a person wants to go and do something that's negative, then Hashem says, you want to do it? Go ahead, I'm not getting involved. And that's the free will we have. But it's like the seller. When you want to buy good oil, he tries to pour it for you. He also wants to be involved in the process. When we try to do something positive, Hashem tries to get involved, so to speak, to help us, because Hashem wants to be involved in the process of doing that which is positive.